Hello everyone, I just wanted to read you my favourite book, Fantastic Mr. Fox by Roald Dahl. Chapter 1, The Three Farmers. Down in the valley there were three farms. The owners of these farms had done well. They were rich men, but they were also nasty men. All three of them were about as nasty and as mean as any men you could meet. Their names were Farmer Boggis, Farmer Bunce, and Farmer Bean. Boggis was a chicken farmer. He kept thousands of chickens. He was enormously fat, and this was because he ate three boiled chickens smothered with dumplings every day for breakfast, lunch, and supper. Oh my. And Bunce was a duck and goose farmer. He kept thousands of ducks and geese. He was a kind of pot-bellied dwarf. He was so short his chin would have been underwater in the shallow end of any swimming pool in the world. His food was doughnuts and goose livers. He mashed the livers into a disgusting paste and then stuffed the paste into the doughnuts. This diet gave him a tummy ache and a beastly temper. Bean was a turkey and apple farmer. He kept thousands of turkeys in an orchard full of apple trees. He never ate any food at all. Instead, he drank gallons of cider, which he made from the apples in his orchard. He was thin as a pencil and the cleverest of them all. Boggis, Bunce and Bean, one fat, one short, one lean. These horrible crooks, so different in looks, were none the less equally mean. This is what the children round about used to sing when they saw them. Chapter 2. Mr. Fox. On a hill above the valley there was a wood. In the wood there was a huge tree, and under the tree there was a hole. In the hole lived Mr. Fox and Mrs. Fox, and their four small foxes. Every evening, as soon as it got dark, Mr. Fox would say to Mrs. Fox, "Well, my darling, what shall it be this time? A plump chicken from Boggis, a duck or a goose from Bunce, or a nice turkey from Mr. Bean?" And when Mrs. Fox had told him what she wanted, Mr. Fox would creep down into the valley in the darkness of the night and help himself. Boggis and Bunce and Bean knew very well what was going on, and it made them wild with rage. They were not men who liked to give anything away, and less still did they like anything being stolen from them. So every night, each of them would take his shotgun and hide in a dark place somewhere on his own farm, hoping to catch the robber. But Mr. Fox was far too clever for them. He always approached a farm with the wind blowing in his face, and this meant if any man were lurking in the shadows ahead, the wind would carry the smell of that man to Mr. Fox's nose from far, far away. Thus, if Mr. Boggis was hiding behind his chicken house, number one, Mr. Fox would smell him out from 50 yards off and quickly change direction, heading for chicken house number four at the other end of the farm. "Dang and blast, lousy beast," cried Mr. Boggis. "I'd rip his guts out," said Mr. Bunce. "He must be killed," cried Mr. Bean. "But how?" said Boggis. "How on earth can we catch the blither?" Bean picked his nose delicately with a long finger. "Ew." "I have a plan," he said. "You've never had a decent plan yet," said Bunce. "Shut up and listen," said Bean. "Tomorrow night we will all hide just outside the hole where the fox lives. We'll wait until he comes out. Then, bang, bang, bang." "Very clever," said Bunce. "But first we shall have to find the hole." "My dear Bunce, I've already found it," said Crafty Bean. "It's up in the wood on the hill. It's under the huge tree." Chapter 3. "Well, my darling," said Mr. Fox, "what shall it be tonight?" "I think we'll have duck tonight," said Mrs. Fox. "Bring us two fat ducks, if you please, one for you and me, and one for the children." "Ducks it shall be," said Mr. Fox. "Bunce is best." "Now do be careful," said Mrs. Fox. "My darling," said Mr. Fox, "I can smell those goons a mile away. I can even smell one from the other. Boggis gives off a filthy stink of rotten chicken skins, and Bunce reeks of goose livers. And as for Bean, the fumes of apple cider hang around him like a poisonous gas." "Yes, but just don't get careless," said Mrs. Fox. "You know they'll be waiting for you, all three of them." "Don't you worry about me," said Mr. Fox. "I'll see you later." But Mr. Fox would not have been quite so cocky had he known exactly where the three farmers were waiting at that moment. They were just outside the entrance to the hole, and each one crouching behind a tree with his gun loaded. And what is more, they had chosen their positions very carefully, making sure that the wind was not blowing from them towards the fox's hole. In fact, it was blowing in the opposite direction, and there was no chance of them being smelled out. Mr. Fox crept up the dark tunnel to the mouth of his hole and poked his long, handsome face out into the night air and sniffed once. He moved an inch or two forward and stopped and sniffed again. He was especially careful when coming out of his hole. He inched forward like a little more, the front half of his body now in the open. His black nose twitched from side to side, sniffing and sniffing for the scent of danger, and he found none. He was just about to go trotting forward into the wood when he heard, or thought he heard, a tiny noise. A soft rustling sound, as though somebody had moved a foot, ever so slightly, through a patch of dry leaves. Mr. Fox flattened his body against the ground and lay very still, ears pricked. He waited a long time and lay very still, but he heard nothing more. Must have been a field mouse, he told himself, or some other small animal. He crept a little further out of the hole and then still. He was almost right out, in the open now. He took a last careful look around. The wood was murky and very still, and somewhere in the sky the moon was shining. Just then his sharp eyes caught a glint of something bright behind a tree not far away. It was a small silver speck of moonlight shining on a polished surface. Mr. Fox lay still, watching it. What on earth was that? Now it was moving. It was coming up. Great heavens, it's the barrel of a gun! Quick as a whip, Mr. Fox jumped back into his hole. And at the same time, the entire wood seemed to explode around him. Bang, bang, bang! Smoke from the three guns floated up in the air. Boggis, Bunce and Bean came out from behind their trees and walked towards the hole. Did we get him? Said Bean. One of them shone a flashlight on the hole. And there on the ground, in the circle of light, half in and half out of the hole, lay the poor, tattered, blood-stained remains of Mr. Fox's tail. Bean picked it up. We've got the tail. We missed the fox, he said, tossing the thing away. Oh, dear. Dang and bust, said Boggis. We shot too late. We should have let fly the moment he poked his head out. Well, he won't be poking his head out again in a hurry, Bunce said. Bean pulled a flask from his pocket and took a swig of cider. Then he said, I'll take 3 days at least before he gets hungry enough to come out. I'm not sitting around here waiting for that. Let's dig him out. Ah, said Boggis, now you're talking sense. We can dig him out in a couple of hours. We know he's there. I reckon there's a whole family of them down there, Bunce said. Then we'll have the lot, said Bean. Get the shovels. The Terrible Shovels is chapter 4. Down in the hole, Mrs. Fox was tenderly licking the stump of Mr. Fox's tail to stop the bleeding. It was the finest tail for miles around, she said. It hurts, said Mr. Fox. I know it does, sweetheart, but it'll soon get better. And it will soon grow again, Dad, said one of the small foxes. It will never grow again, said Mr. Fox. I shall be tailless for the rest of my life. And he looked very glum. There was no food for the foxes that night, and soon the children dozed off. Then Mrs. Fox dozed off, but Mr. Fox couldn't sleep because of the pain. Well, he thought, I suppose I'm lucky to be alive at all, and now they've found our hole, we're going to have to move as soon as possible. We'll never get any peace if we... What was that? He turned his head sharply and listened. The noise he heard now was the most frightening noise a fox can ever hear. The scrape, scrape, scraping of shovels digging in the soil. Wake up, he shouted. The digging is out. Mrs. Fox was wide awake in 1 second. She sat up quivering. Are you sure that's it, she said. Positive. Listen. They'll kill my children, said Mrs. Fox. Never, said Mr. Fox. But darling, they will, sobbed Mrs. Fox. You know they will. Scrunch, scrunch, scrunch went the shovels above their heads. Small stones and bits of earth began falling from the roof of the tunnel. How will they kill us, Mummy? Asked one of the small foxes. His round black eyes were huge with fright. Will there be dogs? He said. Mrs. Fox began to cry. She gathered her four children close and held them tight. Suddenly, there was an especially loud crunch above their heads and the sharp end of a shovel came right through the ceiling. The sight of this awful thing seemed to have an electric effect upon Mr. Fox. He jumped up and shouted, "I've got it! Come on, there's not a moment to lose! Why didn't I think of it before?" "Think of what, Dad?" "A fox can dig quicker than any man," shouted Mr. Fox, and began to dig. "Nobody in the world can dig as quick as a fox." The soil began to fly out furiously behind Mr. Fox as he started to dig for dear life in front, with his front feet. Mrs. Fox ran forward to help. So did the four children. "Go downwards," ordered Mr. Fox. "We've got to go deep, deep as we possibly can." The tunnel began to grow longer and longer, and it sloped steeply downward, deeper and deeper below the surface of the ground it went. The mother and father and all four children were digging together. Their front legs were moving so fast you couldn't see them, and gradually the scrunching and scraping of shovels became fainter and fainter. After about an hour, Mr. Fox stopped digging. "Hold it," he said, and they all stopped. They turned and looked back, and looked up the long tunnel they had just dug. All was quiet. "Phew," said Mr. Fox, "I think we've done it. They'll never get as deep as this. Well done, everyone." They all sat down, panting for breath, and Mrs. Fox said to her children, "I should like you to know that if it wasn't for your father, we should all be dead. Your father is a fantastic fox." Mr. Fox looked at his wife and smiled. He loved her more than ever when she said things like that. Chapter 5. The Terrible Tractors. As soon as the sun rose the next morning, Boggis, Bunce and Bean were still digging. They had dug a hole so deep you could have put a house in it. But they had not yet come to the end of the fox's tunnel. They were tired and cross. "Dang and blast," said Boggis. What an idea this was." "Bean's idea," said Bunce. Boggis and Bunce both stared at Bean. Bean took another swig of cider and put his flask back in his pocket without offering it to the others. "Listen," he said angrily, "I want that fox. I'm going to get that fox, and I'm not giving up until I've strung him up over my front porch." "We can't get him by digging, that's for sure," said Fat Boggis. "I've had enough of digging." Bunce, the pot-bellied, looked up at Bean and said, "Have you got any more stupid ideas then?" "What?" said Bean. "I can't hear you." Bean never took a bath and never even washed. As a result, his ear holes were clogged with all kinds of muck, wax and bits of chewing gum, dead flies and stuff like that. This made him deaf. "Speak louder," he said to Bunce, and Bunce shouted back, "Got any more stupid ideas?" Bean rubbed the back of his neck with a dirty finger. He had a boil coming there and it itched. "What we need on this job," he said, "is machines, mechanical shovels." "We'll have him out in 5 minutes with mechanical shovels." This was a pretty good idea, and the other two had to admit it. "All right then," said Bean, taking charge. "Boggis, you stay there and see if the fox doesn't escape. Bunce and I will go and fetch our machinery, and if he tries to get out, shoot him." The long, thin Bean walked away. The tiny Bunce trotted after him, and the fat Boggis stayed where he was, with his gun pointing at the foxhole. Oh my. Soon, two enormous caterpillar tractors with mechanical shovels on their front ends came clanking into the woods. Bean was driving one and Bunce was driving the other. The machines were both black, and they were murderous, brutal-looking monsters. "Here we go then," shouted Bean. "Death to the fox," shouted Bunce. The machines went to work, biting huge mouthfuls of soil out of the hill. The big tree under which Mr. Fox had dug his hole in the first place was toppled like a matchstick. On all sides, rocks were sent flying and trees were falling, and the noise was deafening. Down in the tunnel, the foxes crouched, listening to the terrible clanging and banging overhead. "What's happening, Dad?" cried the small foxes. "What are they doing?" Mr. Fox didn't know what was happening or what they were doing. "It's an earthquake," cried Mrs. Fox. "Look," said the small foxes, "our tunnel's getting shorter. I can see daylight." They all looked around, and yes, the mouth of the tunnel was only a few feet away from them now, and in the circle of daylight beyond, they could see two huge black tractors almost on top of them. "Tractors," shouted Mr. Fox, "and mechanical shovels. dig for your lives. Chapter 6, The Race. Now there was a desperate race, the machines against the foxes. In the beginning, the hill was reasonable, normal hill kind of shape. After about an hour, the machines had bit away more and more of the soil from the hilltop, and it looked like this. Well, it looks like, you know when you eat an apple and take a big bite? Yeah, looks like that. Sometimes the foxes would gain a little ground and the clanking noises would grow fainter. And Mr. Fox would say, "We're going to make it, I'm sure we are." But then a few moments later the machines would come back at them and crunch of the mighty shovels would grow louder and louder. Once the foxes actually saw the sharp metal edge of one of the shovels as it scraped the earth just behind them. "Keep going, my darlings," panted Mr. Fox. "Don't give up." "Keep going," the fat bogger shouted to Bunce. "We'll get him any moment now. Have you caught sight of him yet?" "No, not yet, but I think you're close." I'll pick him up with my bucket. I'll chop him to pieces." But by lunchtime the machines were still at it, and so were the poor foxes. Oh dear, and now the hill was literally decimated. It's a big hole now. The farmers didn't stop for lunch. They were too keen to finish the job. "Hey there, Mr. Fox," yelled Bunce. "We're coming to get you now. You've had your last chicken," yelled Bogus. "You'll never come prowling around my farm again." A sort of madness had taken hold of the three men. The tall, skinny Bean, the pot-bellied Bunce were driving their machines, racing the motors and making the shovels dig at terrific speed. Bogus was hopping about like a dervish and shouting, "Faster, faster!" By 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the hill had almost disappeared. The hole the machines had dug was like a crater. It was such an extraordinary sight that crowds of people came rushing out from the surrounding villages to have a look. They stood on the edge of the crater and stared down at Bogus, Bunce and Bean. "Hey there, Bogus, what's going on?" "We're after a fox." "You must be mad." The people jeered and laughed, but this only made the three farmers more furious and more obstinate and more determined than ever not to give up until they had caught the fox. Chapter 7. We'll never let him go. At 6 o'clock in the evening, Bean switched off the motor of his tractor and climbed down from the driver's seat. Bunce did the same. Both men had had enough. They were tired and stiff from driving tractors all day, and they were also hungry. Slowly, they walked over to the small fox's hole in the bottom of the huge crater, and Bean's face was purple with rage. Bunce was cursing the fox with dirty words that cannot be printed. Bogus came waddling up. "A filthy, stinking fox. What the heck do we do now?" "I'll tell you what we don't do, said Bean. "We don't let him go." "We'll never let him go," Bunce declared. "Never, never, never," cried Bogus. "Did you hear that, Mr. Fox? Bending low and shouting down the hole. It's not over yet, Mr. Fox. We're not going home until we've strung you up." Whereupon the three men all shook hands with one another and swore a solemn oath that they would not go back to their farms until the fox was caught. "What's the next move?" asked Bunce, the pot-bellied one. "We're sending you down the hole to fetch him. Down you go, you miserable." "Not me," screamed Bunce, running away. Bean made a sickly smile. When he smiled, you saw his scarlet gums. You saw more gums and teeth. "Then there's only one thing to do. We'll starve him out. We'll camp here day and night to watching the hole, and he'll come out in the end. He'll have to." So Bogus and Bunce and Bean sent messages down to their farms asking for tents, sleeping bags and supper. Ooh, let's go on to the next chapter in a second. Hold on.